2 Corinthians chapter 4. We've been talking about our Lord Jesus Christ, and our last point that we were talking about is He is our example. And we went through different things about His example to us, and then talking about how we should follow in His steps. And then we've been, that led to our walk. And we've been talking about our walk probably for the last few weeks. And so, Lord willing, we'll probably finish it tonight, or I don't know, another week or whatever, but we'll see how the Lord leads. I was thinking about going somewhere else this week, but the Lord led me back here, so I'll continue wherever the Lord leads. That's the way I'm going to go. Amen. Right now it's to continue to go back to our walk. So anyway, if you think about it, if He is our example and our life should, we know we should follow in His steps. And so we're talking about our walk. This is our practice, our day-to-day living. The world should see something different in us. So we know we should walk. But we also know because of our walk, because of our sin nature, there's things that can distract us and get us off of that path God wants us to be. So I want to give us some reminders this evening about our walk, what would help us to stay focused on our walk for the Lord. Now look here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look here at verse 15. If you remember back in verse 8, it was kind of Paul was talking about him and the other believers, apostles, different things that they've gone through. They were going through some horrible trials and persecutions when he was talking about these things. But look what he says here, verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many abound to the glory of God. So you think about that. They were going through things that God ultimately will use it to help others. Do you ever think about that the trials that you're going through in life will be a blessing or can be a blessing to someone else? I mean, we pray for Hannah, as we learned of Hannah, this young teenage girl that's been battling something now for 5 years, and she went through these different illnesses. The reality is, as we continue to pray for this girl, we're thankful that they open up an opportunity that she can get into the Mayo Clinic and maybe finally get some help. But the reality is, you know, Hannah, even though she's a young girl, I have never met her. No one here has met her personally. You may have seen pictures or something. You think about that girl can be an encouragement to us. For 5 years, she's been battling things. She's been laughed at. Other people have laughed at her and thought she was making it up. They said she's making this up. She has had nurses accuse her of making stuff up. Can you imagine that, being in the hospital and having nurses thinking that you're making this stuff up? She's been, other believers has discouraged her. I remember one time Pastor Leek talking about that, how there were people that were discouraging her that were believers. And all through this trial, you know, and again, I'm sure she's had rough days and bad days, and I'm sure she's probably been discouraged. She's trying to be an encouragement with others. She's talking about what, writing a book? The young lady is talking about writing a book. What's that? It's almost done. Yes, talking about writing a book to be an encouragement to others, right? So what I'm saying is this. I'm not trying to put Hannah up on a pedestal per se. That's not my gist. What I'm saying is she's going through things that will ultimately what? To encourage others, can reach others, to help others. Think about in your life what you have gone through, how you can be a blessing to others. God allowing things to happen to you that ultimately abound to others, right? To the glory of God. Look what it says, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, right? The flesh, the physical body is breaking down, hurting. It says, outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Amen? They're spending time with the Lord, keeping their eyes focused on the Lord, knowing that one day they were going to be with the Lord. And if you think about it, they are with the Lord. And look what he describes what they were going through in life. For our light affliction. Now, a light affliction. Go back here and look at verse 8. Well, look at this light affliction that he speaks of in verse 8. So you go back. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our bodies. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Did you see those things that he spoke of? Then go back to verse 17. For our light affliction. Now you may look at that and I may look at that and be like, that doesn't sound light to me. You know, one of those things will be, whoa, that's a lot. But when you think about what we may go through and compare it to what Jesus went through, it's nothing. Amen? Compared to what our Lord has gone through. He speaks of this. For our light affliction, you think about whatever you go through cannot be compared to what Jesus went through. And you think about it, it's nothing compared to, you think about the comparison of going to heaven, how great that is. Amen? It says, which is but for a moment. For a moment. I don't know about you, but it surely seems like time's flying, doesn't it, Mark? It's just, yeah, it was, I mean, it was hard. It's hard to believe we're in almost the end of June. I wanted to slow down a little bit, but time is flying, right?
I remember Y2K.
Yeah. Y2K. Yes, Y2K. Everyone was going crazy over that. It says, but it's a moment. Do you ever think about this? The trials that we go through in life are just a vapor, right? Compared to eternity. Don't ever lose focus of this. It says, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So you when you think about our walk, what do we see? What can we learn here? They stayed focused on their walk, right? They stayed focused on the Lord. They stayed focused on the ministry. They stayed focused on God's will being done. If you and I are going to continue to walk with the Lord like we should, the reality is this, you and I need to stay focused. Focus. Trials are going to come. Now, I know Mark, he's never had trials. He's a young man sitting back there. Never been through a trial in his life, right? I'm just joking. We all have gone through trials. And you know, trials can get you off the path. Trials can get your eyes on another area. Do you know sometimes it may not be the hardship trials per se, but the devil can bring other stuff in. The devil can use money. There's a lot of people that have been shipwrecked or got out of the walk as they should have for the Lord over money. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that it's wrong to have money. I'm not saying it's wrong to have money and give it to me. I wouldn't say that. That is wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong to have a savings. You can have a savings account or, you know, investments or whatever. I'm not speaking of those things. But when there's people that have money and they use money as a god, or that money that they have got, a job, has taken them out of God's will. Instead of being in church, they're like, well, I got to make this. And there's some people that have been promoted. Some people have really great jobs. But the reality is they were on a path living for the Lord, and now they're not on that path anymore. What happened? Well, it wasn't a trial of hardship. It was a trial of faith. Amen? Here it is. He's telling us if we're going to walk, what we need to do, like what they were saying here, don't look on the things which are seen. Look at the things that aren't seen, right? Mark was talking about when he was in his prayer about faith, right? When you think about it, there's things we can't see. I don't know what heaven looks like other than by faith. I don't know what my Lord looks like, but by faith. I know one day I'm getting there because of faith. And here it is on our walk, we need to stay focused. Keep your eyes on eternity. Keep your eyes on eternity. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Do you remember that story in the Bible about Peter? Remember when Peter walked on the water? Anyone, you remember that when we were reading that? When did Peter start falling? We start looking around, right? When Peter started, who was he looking at? He had his eyes on the Lord. And he had his eyes on the Lord. He was able to do the impossible, to walk on water, right? And he started to sink when he took his eyes off of Jesus and started to look at the winds and the rain, right? When he started to sink, what did he do? Do you remember? He yelled out, "Lord, help me." And I think the Bible uses the word immediately, right? Jesus grabbed him, right? So let's use this as an illustration. Let's say, right, and again, right, Mark's not the Lord, right? But just as an illustration that's here. Let's say that I'm walking to go to Mark, right? I'm walking to go to Mark. And here it is, as that example, I take my eyes off and I start sinking. I yell, "Help." Can Mark grab me from here? He can't, right? So for Peter, had to be kind of close. Isn't that amazing in our life? And sometimes it's when we're growing, if we're walking by faith, we're getting closer to the Lord, and then we think, "Hey, I got this mastered." He had to be close to the Lord, and then he started to look around, and he yelled, and the Bible says immediately he grabbed him. He was close to him, right? Let me ask you, Julianne put that there to make me trip. I know you did that. You know.
Was that my
planning
till this week?
Oh, yeah, that's here. We'll blame it on you anyway. Let me ask you this question. Did Peter then walk on water again? Oh, he did, right? He sank. And then when the Lord grabbed him, did he walk on water again? He walked on water, right? Go back to the boat. What got his eyes off of the Lord?
The storm.
The storm, right? When did the storm stop? What's that? No.
When the Lord rebuked him.
No. When did the storm stop? Anyone remember? When they got back in the boat. Think about that, right? He was walking to the Lord. He must have got kind of close. He started to look. Like, whoa! He went in. "Lord, help!" Immediately he grabbed him. And then the Lord held his arm and helped him to walk on water till they got back into that boat. The trial was still going. The wind was still going. The waves were still going. They got back into the boat. And then it stopped, right? There's a wonderful principle and a wonderful lesson that's there. You know, if you keep your eyes on Jesus, amen, God can help you, amen? And if you think about it, God showed Peter, says, "Peter, I'll show you how you can get it done. You just trust me. Allow me to lead." And he helped him until he got back on the boat. So think about it. In our walk, you can't do it on your own, amen? Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Now look what the Bible says over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So stay focused on your walk, right? Stay focused, and that focus is on the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, if you look down here, verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Just as a free note, there are some people who try to say verse 19 to 23, 3, justify sin. You're reading into it. Doesn't say sin, right? Paul wasn't advocating that you can sin to try to reach someone. That is not the case, right? Sometimes people do that. They read into verses or they put something in the verses that's not there. Paul wasn't saying that, right? But anyway, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, know you not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may attain. He's not talking about salvation, right? He's talking about the rewards, the crown that's afterwards. And every man striveth for the mastery, is temperate in all things. Anybody have an idea with the definition of temperate as it is applied here? Yes, sir.
Self-control.
Self-control.
I got a note right here because you said it before.
Well, there you go. You were right. Amen. Right to listen. Now they do it to attain a corruptible crown. That means a crown that they have and it's gone, right? But we an incorruptible one that's never going to fade away. I therefore so run, not as uncertainties, so faint fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I want you to think about in our walk, we need to have temperance in our walk. Temperance in our walk. That word temperance, again, is self-control. You think about it, that means discipline. Discipline. That means doing right when you don't even feel like doing right. You know? You want to find out the character that you have? The character that you have is, it's not what you do here in church per se. Yes, it's what you do outside of church. It's what you would do when no one else is looking. That will show you who you really are as your character, right? Kids a lot of times they're not going to act up, right, or get in trouble when their parents are sitting there. But when the parents are out of the room or somewhere else, right? That shows the character. Self-control. Do you want to know if you have self-control or not? You know one thing that could show you if you have self-control? Your tongue. If you can hold your tongue, you have self-control. You'll find that in the book of James. If you can't control your tongue, you surely don't have much self-control. But if you have control your tongue, you have self-control. But here, what can we learn from this, right? He's telling us in our walk, he's using that as an illustration of someone that's in a race, right? So if you think about someone that's running the marathon, and if you have someone that's running a marathon, when they start to run the marathon, that wasn't the first day that they ever ran. Was it 27 miles? Is that what a marathon is? I think it's 27 miles plus or whatever, right? That's not the first time. Well, there may be some people that do that, but usually what it is, you're training for that. You're building up for that. So let's say that you're getting ready to run a marathon, a physical marathon, so 20-some miles, maybe the Boston Marathon. You know, when I was in college, I always thought about running the Boston Marathon. And then I graduated college, you know what I thought about? I'm glad I never ran the Boston Marathon. I was like, yeah, I'm glad I didn't do that. But let's say that you're getting ready to run a Boston Marathon. So what are some things you're going to have to prepare for? Ariana? What's that?
Losing.
Well, it depends, right? If I'm running a marathon, my goal would not be to be the first person. My goal is to finish my race. Sometimes in the Christian life, that's how people look at things. It was a good point, right? Sometimes that's how people look at things. If I'm not doing what Mark's doing, I lost. If I'm not doing as much as Miss Elma's doing, I've lost. No, no, no. Your race and my race are all different. You know, the area that you are in is different than the area that I am in, right? So realize that, right? But if you're preparing for a race as a marathon, what are you going to do if you know the marathon is 6 months away? What are some things that you're going to do? Just start training, right? Running. That'd be wise to do. Start running. Anything else? Weightlifting. Yeah, you want to weightlift. Make sure you stretch, right? Make sure you stretch out well. What else did you want to do?
Eat right.
Get plenty of rest. Get plenty of rest, right? So if you're going to eat right, I guess you're not going to be eating a bunch of what?
McDonald's.
Right? Junk food, right? All those sugar things, right? So if you think about it, he says it's temperate in all things. All these things are important, right? You're going to have to be training. So what are you going to do if it rains? Are you not going to train? You're going to train, right? You're going to run in the rain.
Better sing in the rain.
Yeah, sing in the rain, right? If you only waited until it was nice out, would you really be prepared for your marathon?
No.
Right?
No, because it's going to be too hot.
So if you think about it, in our Christian walk, if the only time you're going to walk is when everything's sunny, you're not going to make your walk too good. Do you understand? Here it is. He's talking about this. He says, hey, if I preach to others, right? And he doesn't fulfill what God wants. And he says, I could be a castaway. That means disapproved, right? God's not happy, right? Imagine it'd be similar to me preaching, saying, hey, stay in the walk. Be faithful to God. And then I just quit, you know? He's like, whoa, you know, that's what he's saying here. When I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway, right? So we don't want to be that, right? Disapproved. So anyway, have temperance in your walk. Even when you don't feel like it, still do what's right. Look what the Bible says over here to 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, so stay focused on your walk. Have temperance in your walk.
Do about murmuring and complaining.
Murmuring and complaining, yes, you don't want to do that. 2 Timothy 4. You could probably change walk to race if you wanted to, but I think you get the point. Well, look here at 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, look here at verse 6 through 8. Here is Paul writing this epistle to a young preacher. And Paul knew that his time was coming to an end. Paul knew he was going to be a martyr. He was going to die. And look what Paul wrote as God told him what to write here. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but also all them also that love his appearing. What do you think we can see out of here, verse 6 through 8, about our walk? What did Paul do with his walk? He what?
Fought.
Well, yeah, he fought. But what else did he do? Fought a good... Yes, he finished it, right? He finished it. Finish your walk. Finish your walk. There's a lot of Christians who have started out walking for the Lord and then they got off the path and they haven't finished their walk for the Lord. The Bible tells us in 1 John, I think it's chapter 2, verse 28, that there'll be those who will be ashamed when they meet the Lord. You know? Because the Lord will show them that you were on that path. You're going down this path and something got off the path and they didn't finish their course as God wanted them to. Can I tell you, finish your walk. Whatever God wants you to do, finish it. Be faithful in it. I usually think of my friend, Dr. Hamlin. He's in heaven. But I just think of him when he finished his walk. They put him on hospice care. He prayed and said, "Lord, please help me to get off hospice care." He was a preacher. He said, "I just want to preach." And they took him out of hospice care. Remember that? That was many, many, many years ago. And he would get up and preach. He would stand up and tell people about Jesus. And sometimes they would wheelchair him up to, where he was going to be preaching. He would get up, the best that he could, and he would preach to people. And that's what he did. He just kept on preaching. And after he was done, he would sit down in the wheelchair. Someone would wheel him away. And then when it was his time, they would bring him back up. He'd get up and he would just preach. And he did that. And he finished the course that God wanted him to do. I mean, he was faithful. Faithful to the end. And I'm thankful that I had known Dr. Hamlin. He was a good friend. And I appreciated him. There's others. Finish the course. Can I tell you, I don't know about your walk. I'm sure it's going to be hard. If God tarries, I don't know what else you're going to go through. I don't know what other health problems that will arise, or financial problems that will arise, or family problems that will arise. I don't know. I'm not God. But you can just ask the Lord to help you to be faithful in your walk. Be faithful. You know, one of the things that God said in the book of Luke, that when he returned, he said, "Shall I find what?" Does anyone remember? Shall I find? No? Shall I find? What's that?
I'm trying to think. My brain just going
much different. Can you
repeat? When the Lord returns, he says, "Shall I find faith?" Faith, right? Shall I find faith? Would it be said of us that we are still walking? Who was it that the Lord told to Isaiah? He was like, "Lord, here am I, send me." I probably won't be able to find that. But Isaiah then asked him a question. How long? That's a good question. How long? And the Lord, I'm paraphrasing it, pretty much told Isaiah, he says, the people aren't going to listen to you, but you just preach until there's none there. Just preach, right? That would be said of us. Shall I find faith? That we could say, yes. We were faithful until God called us home. Our walk. One of the characteristics of the end times. Now, the Bible talks about the last days started when Jesus arose from the dead, right? So we know we've been in the last days. But one of the characteristics of the last days, God said, there would be a great falling away. Falling away from the truth. He didn't say there wouldn't be religion or people that are very religious. We have that today. He says falling away. He's talking about the Word of God. People falling away from the truth. I want, with God's help, I want to be faithful to His Word. Even if no one else wants to be. I know you want to be. And I'm sure there will always be a raiment, the Bible tells us. But I just want to be faithful. I want to finish my course. Now, I can't be prideful. I can't be high-minded. Can't be like Peter. Hey, I'm walking on water and get my eyes off the Lord. I know I need God. I can't. But to finish my walk. Look what the Bible says over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Finish my walk. Are you going to finish your walk? Look here at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This will maybe encourage you. Well, maybe to make you really think about it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, about our walk, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. Always remember, we're working for God. God's working with us, right? It's His way, not my way. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. God does care how you do the ministry. It should be according to His word, right? You can get a huge crowd, but if you're not doing it God's way, you're going to be in trouble, right? That's what He's saying, right? For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. What do you think manifest means? Your work. He's talked about this is for us as believers. Manifest.
Brought into light.
Brought into light, right? Be seen. The things that you're doing will be brought to light. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. God doesn't have a flamethrower that's there, right? He talks of judgment, right? Judgment, right? You think about fire can purify. It shows you what's really there, right? You want to find out how much gold is in there? You know, you put fire to it. You're going to find out, right? It says, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Not that you did something per se, what sort it is. Let me ask you a question. Do you really know the reason why I'm standing here preaching today? Well, yes. But do you know my heart?
I don't know your intentions, your heart, but the Lord does.
Correct. But you don't know my heart. Right? That's what I'm saying, right?
You make it look good.
Yeah. I could be doing that, right? I could be making it seem like I could be doing it for prestige, right? There's people that do it for prestige, right? I could be doing it for the pat on the back, right? Look at me. You don't know my heart. God does. And if I'm doing this for the wrong reason, it will be seen that day of what sort it is. God knows, right? So always remember that. If any man's work by which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so by fire. Right? He's not saying that they're cast in the lake of fire, right? They're saved. What is he saying? Their works that they have done for God, they'll have nothing. Wood burns up, right? Precious stone stays. They're still saved, but they're going to go through a judgment. And here's the thought I want you to think about. Remember this. There are rewards at the end of the walk. Now, I'm not walking for rewards. Hopefully that's not why I'm walking, right? If that's my goal of the rewards, in reality is I have lost sight. I'm walking because I want to. Amen? Yes, it would be a blessing to have crowns, be able to take those crowns and cast them at His feet and say, Thou art worthy. That would be a wonderful blessing. But the reality is, remember this, one day you're going to be judged. And one day I'm going to be judged. That will sometimes help us, because sometimes when we're getting ready to say, you know what, John, you know, he's not serving God. And if John's not serving God, why do I have to serve God, right?
He thinks he's going to make it. Why would not?
Yeah, so why do I have to serve God, right? Miss Alma's not faithful, so if I just go once a week, Miss Alma doesn't go at all, I'm better off than Miss Alma, right? You remember, you're going to stand before God and give an account of your life. Amen? Miss Alma will stand before God. John, each and every one of us. Remember that in your walk. Remember in your walk that one day you're going to give an account of everything you do. And when you think about that, it will help you in your walk. Am I living like God wants me to live? Am I bringing glory to Him, right? And you ask the Lord to examine your walk. I remember when Debbie and I, we were down in Hagerstown, Maryland. And we had a ministry in a nursing home. And we'd go into a nursing home. And when we'd go into the nursing home to minister, that was, I have to tell you, out of all the ministries, the nursing home sometimes is the hardest ministry. Because the people know they're not getting out. And a lot of them are getting ready to check out, if you know what I mean, right? They're getting ready to die. And it's really hard because you would go in one week and someone would be there, and you come in the next time and they're not there. And it's, you know, I think of these nurses, how no wonder some of them get depressed, you know, and how sad it is. But I remember there was a lady, remember her? Do you remember her name before I say it? Beulah, yes. Beulah. She was 90-some years old. I did remember her. Honestly, I did. And let me see if I could find this verse. I think I have it here. And she would... Got it. Beulah would say these verses. When we'd sit there, and Debbie could testify to this, right? And I remember the last time, last time I remember, she was just a little lady, right? And she was frail. She was 90-some years old. She was laying in her bed that was there. I can't remember. I think she had, you know, she had covers on and stuff like that. And we was there. We were trying to be an encouragement to her. And she said something to me. Here's this lady that's getting ready to go to, probably to eternity soon. She quoted this in Psalms 19:14. Debbie, you can testify to this. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Isn't that what she... Here's this lady, and she's like, that's what she was, that was her desire. That the things she thought about, the things she said, would be pleasing to God. Now I want you to think about this. This is probably 20 plus years ago, at least. And I still remember, Mark, a 90-some year old lady that's frail, that's getting ready to go eternity. I went in there to be an encouragement to her. She's still encouragement to me today, 20 plus years later. Because she was still thinking about her walk. What she's thinking about. Oh, I'm telling you, it was surely a blessing. But there is rewards at the end of your walk. There's others that are here, and maybe, Lord willing, I'll come back to them next week. But let's close in a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to preach and teach. And I pray that this was a help and a blessing to you, to the people that are here and people that are listening. And, Lord, I pray they would encourage us in our walk with you. Help us to be faithful. Lord, one thing for sure, just like Peter learned, we need to keep our eyes on you. And, Lord, rely on you. And Lord, I know if we do that, we can walk the path that you want us to walk. We're not walking it to earn salvation, but we're doing it because we are saved and we desire to live for you. Help us to be faithful for you. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.